Stanford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in Bowl Edition Part 2. I'm not even sure how many we're going to have, Bear, but we're here, back at it, ready for another week of preview to games. How you doing this morning?
Yeah, maybe it might be three, there might be four, who the heck knows? No, doing all right. Good to see San Diego State get the dub last night. I know we disagreed on that, and that one kind of hurt the Biapo on the old Roadrunners, which were good to us all year long, but it just felt like a spot for San Diego State, and they just kind of wore them down, shorthanded the team in the second half. But yeah, but bowl games yesterday were kind of fun. You had that color fest up in Boise with the mustard and yellow and brown, and all of them looked terrific visually. NFL's been bothering me just because of this contest that I'm in, and I'm in second place, and I had the Chargers on Thursday night, and they were totally the right side. You got to take the field goal before the half, and the math people, of course, hated me for saying that, but the leader wound up having Buffalo, which probably wasn't the right side, and he got lucky there, and then he had the Rams last night, the terrible non-PI call. So I've been getting every lack of benefit of the doubt and break, and the leader's been getting all the breaks, and that's why he's the leader and I'm in second. But three more weeks and we still got a shot, so it's about all I can hope for.
There we go. Now we go. That Fresno UTEP over finally got there. It should have been over way earlier than it was. Man, that was a weird game. Eastern couldn't do it. Liberty played well. I'm fascinated to see Malik Willis at the Senior Bowl. I'm really excited for an opportunity that is ahead for him. So we'll get to the next week. We'll take you probably through a couple on the 29th on this edition. But before we get started, I just want to mention two things. First, listen to the SV pod. Scott and I this week should be released in a little bit. We will get you caught up on all the NFL action, Scott's thoughts on some of the bowl games, and, of course, something that he hates is near and dear to his heart. So listen and follow to the SV pod wherever you get your podcasts. And the annual NBA on Christmas Day tradition continues with five of the best gifts anyone could ask for. The star-studded schedule starts at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN, with the Hawks taking on the Knicks at the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. Then over on ABC, the Celtics square off against the Bucks, followed by the Suns hosting the Warriors. Later on ABC and ESPN, the Nets battle the Lakers, with the day capped off by the Mavs clashing with the Jazz at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific on ESPN. That gets me fired up for NBA action, I'll tell you that.
And make sure you follow your check your local listings, because I guess there is a possibility that those games could kind of move around a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So last night,
everybody on standby. Check the old bird for any updates. Speaking of updates, Missouri is going to be maybe their top four players: tackler, quarterback, rusher.
Yeah, I think it's their four captains, right?
Yeah, tough. Tough deal here against Army. I know it's up to 6.5. Good to you if you liked Army.
You can find some sevens out there too.
All right. Sounds like you're going to take a seven.
I am. I think Coach Drink, he's going to have a little bit of a red behind about everybody with the players not playing. And he was the one that came out and said he made the call that Beatty wasn't going to play. Everyone talking about how poor their rush defense has been this year. But I think it's a good opportunity to give Cook an opportunity against a team where they're still going to be more athletic than Army. I think his legs might give them an added dimension in the running game now. You've got a bunch of backs who get an opportunity to kind of show what they can do in real game action as they head into next year. I know Navy faces the option every day, but the Army offense did not give me a whole lot of confidence. Now, it may be one of those classic games like I initially thought it would be. Like, before the bowl season, I saw this and was like, oh, this is Army. This is easy. But after seeing Army in that game, I don't know how good that offense really is. Again, maybe they do wind up going up and down the field on Missouri and controlling the clock, and Missouri is checked out and doesn't want to be there. But I could, at seven, I'm absolutely going to take a flyer on the Tigers in this one. I think it's way too big of a reaction.
Yeah, I think I'm on the hook last pod for giving out the over in this game. That's always great news when you lose all the offensive talent on one of the teams. So just a great part of this deal when you give out picks a week before the game. So we're on the hook for that one. Oh, well, we'll sit back and see what comes about. Let's get to tomorrow. I believe 3:30 Eastern ESPN, the Frisco Football Classic presented by Ryan. I believe it's on the same field as we saw the Roadrunners and Aztecs play the other night.
We had a game there last night.
Yeah, good-looking stadium there. It is. North Texas comes in red hot. Miami of Ohio, I just can't get out of my head the idea of these MAC schools in these bowl games. It has not been pretty. There was plenty said, you know, through the course of the year. They provided awesome games once we started in November with the weeknight action, but I don't really have anything here. Miami of Ohio hasn't won a bowl game since the 2010 Go Daddy Bowl, if you remember that big one. This is a stay away from me. I don't have anything really here. North Texas is plus 2.5. I would lean North Texas, I guess, just the way they're coming in playing, even though Miami of Ohio almost got the a 2-point conversion shy of making the title game in the MAC. But I would lean North Texas here.
I got nothing for you here as well. It feels like it's probably an over type game based on how these MAC defenses have performed so far. I mean, North Texas is a team that they've been involved in some fairly high scoring games as well. They blew out UTSA at the end of the regular season game, won their final five games to get bowl eligible. So if I had to play the game, certainly close to home there. Team that got hot at the end of the year to make a bowl game. I would lean towards North Texas in the over if you're looking to play this game.
Haven't seen what either uniform these teams are going to wear. It has a chance to be a good uniform game. I have started the old uniform rankings through these bowl games. Had Wyoming. Wyoming's at 2 after those beautiful brown and gold and mustard. The Jackson State uniforms I thought were tremendous. They are currently sitting at 1. But the problem is all the teams that are high in these rankings of mine in their uniform, they all have lost. I love BYU's look. They lost.
BYU's a great look.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing a great job. ODU had some nice stormtrooper all whites. Couldn't get the job done.
The highlight of that game was the kickoff return. And then after that, it was just downhill.
Yes, it was. Thursday night, 7 o'clock, ESPN, UCF, Florida. It's in Tampa. These schools are pretty close to each other. They've only played twice, I was looking at, ever. So plenty on the line here. Weird deal. Emory Jones is going to quarterback Florida, but he's in the portal. I'm guessing they just didn't have anybody else, and there was probably a deal.
Because Richardson had surgery. Yeah.
So I guess I would lean UCF here. They've been awesome over the second half of the year, but, you know, I think you and I could get a squad together and be successful against the likes of Memphis, Temple, Tulane, UConn, and USF to end the season. The one stat I saw, Florida does like to run the ball. They average about 210 yards a game. UCF's 0-4 when allowing 190 or more rushing yards. So we know what Florida's going to try and do. I do think Emory's pretty talented. It's just obviously the big question, as we're going to face a lot of these games, Bear, in the next 7 days. What is the motivation factor for Florida? We know what it looked like last year with all the opt-outs against Oklahoma. Do you expect the Gators to show up?
I don't know. You can take two schools of thought. You can take one that they've got their interim head coach now watching, and the guys that are there are going to be looking to make a positive first impression. Or you can just take the stance that this is a team that underachieved this year, and they're just ready to end the year. But the thing that makes me think that they might take the game seriously, A, is that Jones is playing. even though he's in the portal and going to, he's going to want to impress someone. And the way they played against Florida State in a game that they needed to get bowl eligible, I thought it was a big checkout time there, and they did win. And I think the fact that UCF's a very vocal fan base, and the old administration there certainly was as well, that might ring true with some of those players, and just trying to put UCF, I guess, kind of in their place, even though they're not the same team that they were a couple of years ago when they finished undefeated. So I think there are signs that Florida will take the game seriously. So yeah, I think this is a stay away for me. I certainly would expect both teams to come out and give a good effort. But yeah, but I'm with you. I just don't know how good UCF is.
Yeah. And that's the question. You know, Gus is going to have his team prepared. Always does well. These teams are so similar points per game, scoring and allowing. UCF averages 32 a game. Florida averages 31.8 points allowed per game. UCF 25, Florida 26. So feels like an even matchup. I would lean the points in your office pools or whatever there. So I think you'll know pretty quick with Florida. And I never doubt the players. I just, as far as the motivation goes, I just don't want to have any part in giving 7 points.
And that's the great thing. There are so many games. You don't need to play them all. You
do not.
You get a better feel of.
Of course, no matter what Big Cat says.
make the board love you.
Friday, Christmas Eve, annual Hawaii Bowl. This line has slipped, 17 points? Not one good thing has been coming out of the Hawaii thing deal. Memphis is now -8.5, 55.5. If you have something, go, because I don't.
How can you? Other, I mean, what possibly could you say to talk yourself onto Hawaii here with basically the team rebelling against their head coach? It's interesting that both quarterbacks in the game now faced each other in a high school playoff game last year. So that's kind of interesting. This could be a defense optional game though. That would be the one thing I might take a look at, because when you've got players, or the thought is that we don't care, tackling might be optional. And Memphis's defense historically isn't very good either. So, yeah, this could be one of the a vintage Hawaii whack-esque type of games where it could go flying over the total.
I will remind you, it is on TV if you're really, really, really bored. 8 o'clock ESPN, Christmas Eve. Moving down as we go past Christmas and the weekend, Monday, right down the road here, or first 11 a.m. Oh, or no, wait, hold on. Where am I? There is a game Christmas Day.
You're getting excited.
Whoa.
Yes, there is. Merry Christmas up against the NFL, I think, right?
Very nice. Georgia State, Ball State.
Yep.
Wow, this line has gone up too. Georgia State up to -6.
Yeah, we gave this one out at 4.5 initially.
Huh.
Now it's going to fly it up.
How's
that for closing line value?
Yeah, people are all over that. Hope you did well with those. That's why I'm a wait guy. I'll wait.
I will rather wait as well. It's funny because, I mean, look, some people love it. I think it's irrelevant. If you win, you bet. You win, you bet. You lose, you bet. You lose the bet. It's like when we had to do the triple option stuff this year during Daily Wager. Like, I'm a guy who likes to wait. And they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to go Tuesday. I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to go Tuesday. Like the black hole of the betting week. You don't get to bet into the opener, and then you don't get to bet later in the week after. Like, you just kind of get thrown in the middle there. And my record certainly indicated my disdain for having to go then. That's for sure.
Sorry,
little mini right now. Like,
it. Oh, good.
I just, I mean, it's like, who's betting serious money on like Tuesday during the week on a college football game?
I don't know anyone. It's all good. You would lean the points here with Ball State then? or the over?
No, I mean, I gave out Georgia State at 4.5.
Okay.
So that's where it's, that's the way I would probably go. I mean, the thing is that the MAC defense is like we talked about have been terrible. So really like this Georgia State team that wound up putting 42 up on Coastal Carolina.
And yeah.
37 on Troy. Does this game wind up going over the total? But I mean, I hate laying six now when you laid 4.5 a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know. I might take a look at the over here. What are we looking at here for a total?
51.
51. Yeah, 51. It seems like you could get.
Yeah.
31-24 type of game. So yeah, I might take a look at the over here with the with these two teams. Ball State was a defensive minded team last year when they won the conference, and I don't think the defense is as good as it was last year. And just based on what we've seen from some of these defenses early on, over might be the play here. And if you can get a 5 or 5.5 somehow still on Georgia State, go for it. But 6 seems like a tough number, so over would be the way I'd go here.
Yeah, just looking at some of the stats, Ball State's 6 losses, teams have rushed for an average of 218 yards. Georgia State, on average, rushes for 223. So yeah. There could be a significant advantage there with Georgia State. I always think they're prepared, and I think their coaching staff does a good job. So I would lean there, but I just don't want to give any part of 6 points. Not knowing how that's going to go, but I would lean going against the MAC again. Speaking of MAC, another one. Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern, Ford Field. It's the Quick Lane Bowl. Another team we have no idea what we should expect from. Nevada, coach and change, quarterback opting out, transfers following the coach to Colorado State. No idea what the roster is going to look like. But Western Michigan on the other side was some people's pick. To win the MAC, their good has been good. Their bad's been really bad. They beat Pitt earlier this year and then lost to Ball State. So you don't know what you're getting with Western Michigan. They're given 6.5 in another incredible line movement since the lines were posted with all the stuff that I mentioned, coaching change and transfers. Over-under's 56. I don't want to lay 6.5 with Western Michigan. It's a stay away for me.
I want nothing to do with this game.
Got it.
You have no idea. If you got the information on Nevada early and you're able to get Western Michigan as a dog or a smaller favorite, mm-hmm. Congratulations, and you're in a great situation here to lock in a profit, nice fat middle. If you want to take a chance on that, but yeah, I can't go near this game.
One game I will dive in on. Two teams that are near and dear to my heart, the Boston College Eagles, who did not get there for us in the season, win total of 7.
Yeah, unfortunate there with the quarterback.
Brutal.
Injury. That's really what did it. So you were on the right side there, just unfortunately.
We'll be back at it next year because I love what I've seen from guys coming back, and that's why I like them in this spot. Against ECU.
Where is this game?
This is in Annapolis. I was thinking about
you're maybe going. I'm going. You've got to be. You've got to be honorary captain for both teams, right? can we call the bowl people and or at least our programming people and at least have you be the honorary tosser of the coin?
I didn't. I get maybe they don't have my number, but my phone didn't ring for that one.
We can. Remember the Ann Bowden like sweatshirt. On the first Bowden Bowl with like half Clemson and half Florida State, we can give you like a half East Carolina, half BC jersey or something.
The worst version of those I remember was the A's Giants Bay Area World Series, where it had the hat down the middle, and it could not have been worse with the black and orange of the Giants and then the green and gold of the A's. Like it was just a terrible. Looking deal. I like BC here. I've seen the news about Jerkovic coming back next year. Zay Flowers, their star receiver. I believe he's been all ACC 2 years in a row. He's going to come back. Garwo is a great running back. Our guy Ehlers is on the other side. Unbelievable job getting this team to a bowl game with all they've been through. They played well against the good teams this year. They just didn't really beat any of them. They hung around with Cincinnati. They got a huge win at Navy to become bowl eligible. So Djurkovic, when he came back, I think he kind of came back too early, trying to help that team, you know, as the ACC was wide open for a little bit there. And I think that had a lot to do with it. Grossel just couldn't get it done when he was in there. BC's failed to score more than 17 in six of the last eight games. But I like the idea here. I think Hafley knows the momentum he could create with all that's coming back. The potential of the offensive line, but they were all dinged up this year. You know they're going to play good defense, and this is a defense I think that'll be towards the better half of ECU. I know ECU played Cincinnati, but BC's defense is legit, and I know ECU wants to possess the ball, but I think BC will do some things offensively, knowing that they're healthy, and I think they're going to be motivated. So I'll lay the three here with BC.
You broke it down. You have a conviction. I don't, as unfortunately I don't in a lot of the games this week. So this is just kind of like a nebulous area of bowl week for me. I don't have a ton of conviction on a lot of these matchups. So you've got a conviction there. So let's just move forward.
Very good. Tuesday, December 28th, 12 Eastern, ESPN, Protective Stadium, brand new facility in Birmingham, Alabama. It's the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. Coach Harsin against Coach Holgorsen. Auburn's minus 2.5 as Auburn plays Houston. Over under 51.5. I saw Houston has a couple opt-outs, but the Toon, the quarterback, who's been very impressive this year, is going to play for Houston. Obviously, Bo Nix is transferred. He was hurt, but he's transferred to Oregon. I'm actually fired up to see this game because you don't get a team like this from the American playing a middle of the road SEC team. We know the last time we saw Auburn was that brutal loss in four overtimes to Alabama. Do you have any expectations for Auburn in this game?
I think defensively, I think they'll play pretty well. They've battled on defense kind of all year long. And I think Houston, be curious to see Houston, how they bounce back off of the blowout loss in the conference championship game, if they just kind of end their season now, or if Dana and those guys are wound up to play an SEC team in a bowl game. But, it's basically an Auburn home game.
Yeah, you would think.
Under might be the way to go here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I just want to see Finley in a position where he's had time to prep. I know he was dinged up in Alabama. He was gutting it out on that ankle. But, like, with the time – it always feels like he's thrown to the wolves here. LSU last year, that was a weird deal. I mean, he was super young. I'm interested to see what he looks like here. I think Tank Bigsby's going to play for Auburn. So that's an awesome sign for them. He's one of my favorite running backs in the country.
Yep.
But I just want to see Finley here in a circumstance where he's been the guy getting all the reps in practice. He gets full prep. He's healthy, and let's see what he could do. So I would lean Auburn in this game, but I'm not giving him out as an official pick.
Yeah, I would lean Auburn and under
Okay.
It's just because, Bigsby playing, they can run. But I just don't know with Finley, man. That's
– yeah.
You know, Auburn's going to be an interesting team heading into next year.
No doubt.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Later that day, 3:15 ESPN. Air Force. Louisville. Blind, I will take Air Force. Louisville minus 1.5. This could be an automatic over, though, 55.5. Because Louisville's not going to play any defense at all. And I think Satterfield does a good job offensively. So, you know what? We'll take the over in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you here, yes. Yeah, I think this will
be a fun game.
Yeah, this will be a fun game because, the athletes that Louisville has on the offensive side of the ball will certainly have a ton of success as well. So yeah, I'm with you here on the over.
Yeah, Air Force with that run game rushing for over 341. Louisville does rush for 211 yards too. So I just think the big play capability of both teams. I think Daniels does an awesome job running that option for Air Force, and obviously Cunningham with his athleticism that really showed up late in the year. I like the potential of both those offenses in this game. So we'll go over in that one. Later that day, the 28th, we have the Leech Bowl, Mississippi State minus 9.5.
59 that seems too high, doesn't it? Doesn't 9.5 seem too high?
I really liked what I've seen from Mississippi State at the end of the year with Rodgers.
Quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I think Rodgers has got the goods. Their defense is more than capable. Yeah, it does feel like a lot with Texas Tech and knowing their potential. Liberty Bowl is always a pretty high-level game. I want to say Mississippi State lost there on that brutal no-call on the punt return to Memphis earlier this year, which was one of the – I mean, when you look back on outcomes that scratch your head, that's up there. But, yeah, we know the offensive capability. Both teams average over 400 yards a game. Both average giving up over 330. So that's got to be a high 59.5. I thought that would be higher. Huh. Looks like good weather, 69 degrees.
So Cumbie's gone, correct?
Yes.
So basically you've got ridiculous.
Yeah. Cause I didn't know that, that Kittley was going to coach for Western Kentucky cause he's going there, to be the offensive coordinator. And that made me take Western Kentucky again. I waited and I saw some news and that made me jump on it. So this will be a fun game for sure. In the Liberty Bowl.
Back to Western Kentucky. Why did they not leave Zappe in to get 6,000 yards? Come on.
Because they didn't have you on the staff.
That was like two or three completions and the kid throws for 6K. Leave him in the game to get 6K. It's a ridiculous bowl game. You put up unbelievable numbers all year, and now you're going to look in the record book, and it's going to be a few yards shy of six. That terrible job. Let him get his 6,000, and then take him out.
All right.
Sorry, mini rant.
Love mini rants. That's why we have a podcast for mini rants.
Well, I see some tens here too. Circus got 10.
Ooh.
On Mississippi State now.
All right.
It still seems high.
Yeah. I need to see more about Texas Tech's roster. The Holiday Bowl this year on Fox. So if you're looking around, 8:00 in the East on Tuesday, December 28th, good game, UCLA. NC State minus 159.5.
I'll be watching this one in Miami.
Ooh. We will get your travel plans in a second. To your city. UCLA, I love the quarterback matchup in this thing. I really liked what I've seen from Leary, and DTR is as tough as they come when it comes to these situations. I expect him to play well. I think UCLA is going to play well. NC State, known obviously for Doran in that defense. Just not sure what – have they faced the goods that UCLA can bring to the table offensively? That's why I lean UCLA in this game. But this is like top five excited I am for, you know, the non-playoff games as far as bowl comes, because I think the capability of both teams UCLA's won three of their last five, including three in a row, and NC State's won four of their last five. Their only loss was that 45-42 loss to Wake. So both teams come in, UCLA 8-4, NC State 9-3. UCLA, was there over under 7 season win total, or were they 8?
I believe it was 7. It was either 6.5 or 7. I think it was 7.
They got there.
It did get there. Yeah, I was going to say, when you talked about – has as have the Wolfpack faced an offense. I was going to say Wake Forest would be the only team that I here's one that I that I played on DraftKings is ACC bowl wins under 5.5. I played
What's the minus on that?
140, 145.
Okay. I like that.
Again, the caveat now being all these games need to be played. So Miami's going to have to field the team for COVID purposes, and Texas A&M is going to have to field the team to play their game against Wake. But yeah, I thought you look a bunch of toss up games. And figured why not take a shot?
Charbonnet's been really good coming in. Mm-hmm. He's had 106 against Cal, 167 against SC, another 67 against Colorado, 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games. So I expect he is going to get fed the ball as long as he's playing, right? That's another one of these guys. I would think he's playing in this game.
He'll play.
All right. Just want to make sure. Never know. Never know these days.
And then again, I was told Breece Hall was playing, and then the next day he announced that he wasn't. So
You're bad info there.
They're playing until they're not.
Somebody's trying to get you, I think, with some information.
I know. They're trying to use me to move a line in a certain direction, I think. It's not very nice.
I like UCLA. That's a high-level game. Excited for that one. I know I've said it a million times. All right, moving on to the next game. 10:15 ESPN, West Virginia, Minnesota.
This will be fun.
Yeah.
This will be a good night.
I'm surprised Minnesota's given. I know Letty's not playing for West Virginia. Good luck to him at the next level. He had an awesome career and not some great West Virginia teams. But West Virginia is fresh off a win over Kansas, and obviously that win against Texas when everybody was beating Texas. And Minnesota still, the game that doesn't get talked about at all to end the season is Minnesota is Minnesota beating Wisconsin. Now they lost their offensive coordinator's gone. They got their guy back. This is a tough one, man, because both coaching staffs, I feel like, take bowl games pretty seriously, and I feel like they're going to be really into this. I think I trust Morgan more than Daigie, but I like when Green comes in and what West Virginia does with that offense. Minnesota ended the year only giving up 18 points per game.
Their defense That's pretty played good. Really well to end the year. Again, you're dealing with some pretty anemic offenses.
Yes,
but to hold Maryland to 16, I mean that's a team capable. Purdue to 13, you know their defense played. I actually like Minnesota in this game.
Okay,
I think you know how PJ will have them wound up for a bowl game to finish off the year on a winning note. A couple of close losses mixed in there. Morgan coming back. I can see them being really excited about this game, whereas I know West Virginia won a couple of games at the end of the year, but their offense is the Oklahoma State game was a total no-show offensively. Kansas State, you struggled offense. I'm not the Texas game. You were kind of fortunate to. You mean Kansas, of course, obviously played better.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the year, but yeah, I like Minnesota here plus the but numbers come down too, so I don't know how much further it will come down than 4, but at 4.5, I certainly would lay the points here with the Gophers. Mostly 4s though.
Okay, a couple early ones Wednesday. We'll be taping that morning, so we just want to get that out there. SMU Virginia in the no coaches. Bowl game. Oh, Fenway. Sweet. Let's go to Boston and play in a bowl game. You can have
you
can get
this. You need maybe someone needs to fire up that what Dropkick Murphy song right now.
Casket flag.
You love that,
rocking
right?
At 11 a.m. Man.
Nothing says college football on the end of the year than Fenway Park in the city of Boston.
get a couple tall Sam Adams boys for you. Virginia minus 2.5. Mendenhall's going to coach, but I don't know the deal with any of the assistants. 71.5.
What's the field configuration going to be like there?
Well, UConn played BC there a couple years ago, and the field goes – it goes opposite of how they do Yankee Stadium. So the sidelines are, like, at shortstop, that side. So, like, the right sideline goes right down the first baseline.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of how they did it when I was – when I went there for a soccer match, too, that's how they had the field.
Would you go see Liverpool there?
Yeah, we did. I saw Liverpool and in Roma. Yeah.
Oh.
A little exhibition there. Yeah, because I was saying, like, are they going to have an end zone, like, up against the monster?
No, but you could sit on the monster and the field's, you know, how many amount of feet away from you.
That'll be cool. that's exactly what I want to do on December 28th. Sit however many feet in the air.
All right. Here you go.
On a winter morning in Boston. Yeah, it'd be great.
37.
How cold would it be up there?
The old weather tracker has 37 degrees. So here you go. Would you rather go to this game at 11 a.m. Eastern and sit on top of the monster or go to the Jets-Jags game Sunday?
Oh, geez. Wow. That's a great question. You're talking to me. I would rather go to this game because it's easier for me to get to Boston than it is to drive down and cross a bridge and go to the Meadowlands. That's my rationale for it.
What if I gave you a private plane to both?
Well, it probably have to be more of a car. It could be a plane. Oh, then I'm going to Teterboro. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Without a doubt. And I can just laugh and shout cruel things towards the Jets sideline.
How are we feeling about the Jets? You like them this week?
How can you play that game? The defense is so bad. The quarterback is bad. Like, everything about them is bad.
I need Barnwell to do a full breakdown. Give me a pick on that game.
Oh, he will too.
I need it. That's a game I'm watching.
I would.
Robinson's
the best offensive player, so don't you have to take Jacksonville? And Urban's gone, so like.
Yeah, how'd that do?
Just think about this: the Buffalo Bills probably are not going to win the AFC East because they lost to Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here's how I look at it. I'm watching Jets-Jags this week because I'm going to be able to watch the playoff teams for the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to be able to watch the Jets and the Jags in January.
How many people are getting Christmas gifts on Saturday for because there are probably a million tickets available? Hey, we get to go to – son, we're going to go to a football game on Sunday. It's Jets-Jaguars under the tree.
Here's your Trevor Lawrence jersey. We're going to see him.
It's funny. I actually have a friend from
get fired up
from a friend from high school who's a Jets fan like I am, and he went to Clemson, and he's coming back. He lives in California now, and he's coming back to Long Island for the holidays. He's like, yeah, I might actually just go to the game just to go see Trevor. I'm like, why? Why would you go put yourself through the traffic of getting there? Like, why? He's sick in the head.
All right. So I don't have anything on the Fenway Bowl. Sorry. If you're going, have a blast, though.
Exactly.
Let's see. Go to the greatest bar for Levy. He'll be happy to see you. 2:15, Wednesday, December 29th, Maryland. In the picture, speaking of Major League Stadiums, wow, what a way to start Fenway and then Yankee Stadium. Maryland, minus 3.5, 55 the total against Virginia Tech. Obviously, Virginia Tech, new coach coming in for the offseason. Burmeister's in the portal. Maryland did pretty well in the recruiting, but those guys are not going to be able to play in this game. So
they've done well in the recruiting the last couple of years.
If it's going to be 37 at Fenway, what's it, 41 in Yankee Stadium?
Oh, beautiful.
Old Leah slinging it around the yard early on. You got anything? Because I don't.
I don't.
Okay. All right. And I do have one here. Later that day, the Cheez-It Bowl. Oh, it's in Orlando this year?
Beautiful downtown Orlando, yeah.
They moved the Cheez-It Bowl when it was in Arizona.
I was going to say, wasn't it in Candlestick. What was it initially in California at one point, this game?
Yeah, the Giants Park. They went from California
to Texas to Florida. We moved east.
I went to it a couple years ago, and it was at the Diamondback Stadium. Air Force played Washington State. Yeah. But anyway, it's in
It's the reversed Horace Greeley. Appreciate you getting a reference.
Clemson minus one, over under 44, Iowa State. Give me Iowa State. I'm just give me Iowa State.
Yeah, I like Iowa State too. I'm looking this more at Clemson not having either of its coordinators, a quarterback that's bad, a team that's used to being in the college football playoff, and now you're going to face Iowa State in Orlando. It just doesn't sound like a situation that I can see Clemson really getting up for. And I think even without Breece Hall, I think Iowa State will be able to move the ball and have enough success offensively. I can see that Iowa State defense really giving Clemson a ton of problems as well. So this feels like an Iowa State under type of game for me.
Yeah, this has to be among the lowest totals at 44. No, Wisconsin, Arizona State's 42 later on in the week. I just like all that comes with Iowa State, the staff staying intact. I still have Purdy. I think the edge is clearly to Iowa State, even though he was subpar this year. And I think they'll be ready to go. I know they'll be prepared. Dabo's got a lot of work to figure out. I think this will be one of the better attended bowl games. Clemson obviously always travels well. We'll have no problem getting to Florida. And I think Iowa State could use a nice trip to Florida in the middle of the winter. So, yeah, I think that'll be a good one.
Curious to see how many Clemson people go.
Yeah.
Do they feel a little entitled after being so successful?
Do you think the Clemson fan base grew more than the Red Sox fan base grew during their World Series runs?
Good question.
I'm full of them this
Probably.
Week. Okay.
Probably. They're the paw travels now. The paw is a national brand.
What do they hand out? $2 bills or something?
$2 bills, yep. I got a couple upstairs.
Oh.
Being my – I might have to actually use those at some point, being the way I've been running this year.
Can't use those on your apps.
No, you can't.
Firing away on.
No, you can't.
All right. That will do it. I'm just going to give a little
Give recap. A little what?
A little recap.
Okay. The Big Mike Happy Recap.
Big Mike Happy Recap.
Yes. In this week's Big Mike Happy Recap, I will go Boston College, the over in the Air Force Louisville game, UCLA, and Iowa State.
Yeah, I will go Missouri plus the 7. I will go Iowa State plus the 1. I will go the Louisville Air Force over 55. And then I will go Minnesota minus the 4. And then one other one that I have for you as well. It's not college. It's actually NFL. I have a little.
Oh.
I do have a little NFL something for you. I mentioned the college thing I saw at DraftKings, but DraftKings also has adjusted NFL win totals.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the Texans were 3.5, which obviously means they have to go winless the rest of the year. But you look at their schedule. They got the Chargers and the 49ers the next 2 weeks. They're not winning either of those two games. And then they got the Titans the last week of the season. And the Titans might need that game So it might not be an automatic mail it in. So I played under 3.5 for the Texans adjusted win total. I think it was minus 120. So at the very least, you'd put yourself in a position where Houston will be an underdog, you would assume, to Tennessee the last week of the year, and you can fool around accordingly if you feel the need to get off of that. So Texans adjusted win total under 3.5. That's my other little Big Mike happy recap edition.
Very good. All right, and then you'll be getting on the road after Christmas, headed to the Orange Bowl?
Yep, 28th. Well, we're coming to your city. Yep, we're there for game day in the morning, New Year's Eve. Call the game, go to Pasadena. Game day, New Year's morning, Rose Bowl, Red Eye home, and then back down to out to Indiana Friday the 7th.
Very good.
When do you get to Indy?
I'm coming in Sunday, red hot.
Sunday,
no NFL playoff game for you.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I forgot about that little. I didn't throw that in there just because I don't know the logistics
where you're going.
Of where I'm going.
Just pack a bag, big boy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm assuming I'm getting on a plane from Indianapolis somewhere Saturday morning, going somewhere to call a game, and or sit in the truck while Kirk and Chris and Laura call a game, and then I come home after the game.
And just so you know, I'm referencing ESPN having an NFL playoff game Saturday night. I believe that is January
8th.
ESPN will have the broadcast. Chris Fowler, Kirk Street, Laura Rutledge are on that call. I would imagine they're going to want Bear in their ear as they do for their normal Saturday. So, yes, Fowler and Herb Street are calling the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, NFL playoff game, and then the national title game.
Well, it's not a playoff game. It's the final
week. It's not?
Week. No, it's the final week of the regular season.
I'm all screwed up. All screwed up with that NFL season.
But we were told it's going to be a game that has playoff implications.
Got it. Because it's flexed. Got it.
But again, does playoff implications mean Titans at Houston?
Ooh.
Does it mean Saints at Falcons? Like does it mean Jets at Bills? I mean, there are a whole lot of games that have playoff implications that could be kind of brutal games.
I would love that you have to go on a private plane to Buffalo.
At least it's not too far from Indy. That actually wouldn't be a bad option.
Truck has heat, right?
I'm sorry?
The truck has heat.
Yes.
You'll be sitting in for the game.
The truck does have heat. That actually wouldn't be the worst option, by the way.
Okay.
Go to Buffalo, get there, short flight there, short flight back. But Bills potentially can win the division if they beat the Patriots this week. Bears Vikings. How about that? Maybe we get to watch that game again.
Oh, that was a good one.
There's the tree.
I have the perfect one.
Monday night a couple of weeks ago. We're going to give you round two in Minnesota this time around again. You get them both.
I have the perfect one. Colts at Jags.
Colts looking to get into the playoffs. Yeah, that's the oh wow.
Yeah. Oof. Well, it's all division. Every game is division.
I know. Which is good. The best game of the day is Niners Rams.
No.
No. Niners Rams isn't the best game of the day.
Best rivalry in the sports playing that day. Steelers Ravens. 3-2. Well,
it's a great rivalry, yes, but like what I think the best game.
I'm just messing with you. What about the battle for Ohio?
Yeah, that could be a big game for your boy. that could be a big. Your boy was a little disappointed with the Browns on whatever day that was. Was that yesterday? I can't remember. I don't even Monday. One of these, whatever that was.
Yeah,
Monday, I think.
Monday night.
I wish they would have held on. We'll be big Ravens fans this week.
All right. All right. I think that'll do it. You anything else on the docket? You good to go?
Yeah,
have a
we're
Merry
good.
Christmas.
You do
what's
too.
On the, what's on there? The menu? Christmas dinner.
Well, we'll have Christmas Eve is seafood. I make a little seafood linguine with some mussels and some clams and okay. scallops, some bucatini, a little antipasto salad, some garlic bread. That'll be Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day will be lasagna. A nice, easy lasagna. And the good thing about lasagna is being it's just my wife and I, you can't really like make a half a tray of lasagna. So you make the tray and then she'll have leftovers while I'm gone in Miami because that'll be easy for her to pop into the microwave and reheat. So take care of her while I'm gone.
Sweet. All right. Well,
are we going to be home?
Yeah, we're home. A little beef tenderloin, baby.
Mm.
Big one.
Make sure you take your turkeys out by now. Don't take if you wait any longer, turkey won't thaw out by Christmas.
Ooh.
Turkeys better be out by now.
You heard the man.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his grub. All right, everybody, have a great holiday. Any questions, hit us up on Twitter at Chris Felica, at Stanford Steve 82. I appreciate everybody listening. Obviously, on the whole nother year, we got it done. Rate, review, subscribe, whatever, all those good things. Tell your friends. And we'll be back next week. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.